Cliff Schechter is a founder, president of the PR firm Libertas LLC, advised campaigns and political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton and Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain. Unprecedented is the exceptional podcast that he is part of, and he's kind enough to join us today. And we first have to deal with something that I have to do. Hi, Cliff. How are you, first off?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm not as well as you because our twins lost. If you don't know, if you're not a regular, first, Cliff and I both love baseball. Cliff is a Yankees fan, even though he's in Cincinnati now. But if you've seen the Cincinnati Reds, that's an easy fix. But the Twins.
Cincinnati Reds are never an easy fix.
It's the big red machine. Exactly. In the 1970 something, yeah. Cliff and I talked on Saturday about what would happen if the Twins win the series or the Yankees win the series at Yankee Stadium. It was looking good for my Twinkie cakes after Saturday, but the Yankees came back and took Game 3. So the Yankees officially won. And so I think the agreement was I have to say something nice about the Yankees at this point, correct?
I think so, yeah.
All right.
So, I wouldn't want to make you do that on a nice Monday, though.
Well, no.
It's going to hurt.
No, it's not going to hurt. I will say this. I grew up in the shadow of Boston. So henceforth, and Karol Yastrzemski, the Yaz, was my favorite all-time player. And so when you're growing up there, you know, Yankees sucks is a kind of a, you know, kind of it's kind of bred into you on that sort of thing. But the reality is stepping away from that and stepping away as just a pure baseball fan, the Yankees are the real deal. And as a matter of fact, one of the greatest franchises in any sport. The biggest problem the Yankees have is bad management of usually exceptional talent. That tells you everything you need to know right there. They play in a cathedral to baseball. It's storied franchise. It is easy to see how people are Yankees fans. And if not for the fact that I grew up in Rhode Island for many days of my youth, I probably would be a Yankees fan myself. So I can.
There you go. Look at that. I do feel the need to say though, Matt.
Yes.
Just to clarify for people. I do live in Cincinnati, but I did spend most of the first, with the exception of college, 20-something years of my life in New York, and my dad grew up in the Bronx next to Yankee Stadium, seriously, a couple blocks away. So
wow.
I didn't just start rooting for the Yankees so I could root for a winner, and I'll prove it to you.
Yes.
I'm also a Knicks fan.
Well, there you go. Oh, dear God, man. Sign of the cross on this one.
Exactly. You inherit fandom from New York. New York, from your parents, Yankees has been great. The Giants has been mostly very good until recently. The Knicks and the Rangers, not so much.
No,
so, I take the good with the bad.
And you're not. There's no way in the world you're about to start rooting for the Islanders. I can already tell you that.
No. I can't do that because, you know, when I grew up, the Rangers, the Islanders had that great team in the early 80s.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, and it was embarrassing because I was a Rangers fan. The team out in Long Island was beating up on us when I was growing up in Manhattan. So I can't do that.
Well, and also, they play in a mall.
they really do. I think Long Island has been declared all one big mall.
Like, you know,
that's where we are now.
If you're not classy enough for New Jersey, you head for Long Island, and that's all. Wow, I'm sorry. Wow.
You're getting brutal.
I'm getting.
You have a term for that, bridge and tunnel. Most people don't like it much when I say that. They call me an elitist something or other I can't say on your show.
Well. I appreciate it. I look forward to when the Yankees come to Minnesota here in July. I hope that,
I'll say, I'm not required to say this, but you guys have an impressive team this year, and I think you could be some trouble for us when we come there in July. We'll see.
Whoever told them to start swinging for the fences, good call. Good call. Yeah. That was nice.
Good move. The home run stuff. Very good.
Yeah, who knew? All right, let's talk about a pretty insane letter today. Of course, Cliff, we talk about it with him about national issues and issues with Trump. Trump's conduct as outlined in special counsel Robert Mueller's report would have led to an obstruction of justice charges if he were not sitting president, hundreds of former federal prosecutors said on a statement on Monday. Each of us believe that the conduct of Trump described in special counsel Mueller's report would, in the case of any other person not covered by the Office of Legal Counsel policy against indicting a sitting president, result in multiple felony charges of obstruction of justice. The statement, which was posted online, signed by 375 bipartisan signatures. This is not just a bunch of liberal lefties. These are people from both sides of the aisle who are stepping up and saying, no, the only reason Trump is not being charged right now is this ridiculous Department of Justice, DOJ law, which Mueller himself cited as the reason he himself could not charge the president of the United States.
Right. And there were, I mean, if I'm correct, I looked at it quickly. I think there are people from pretty much every Republican administration on there. I mean, this is
indeed. Yep.
This is bipartisan. I mean, you know, we knew that. We know that. I mean, it's not to, I'm not saying this isn't a big deal. It's a huge deal because we need more of this kind of stuff, because this is what gives it legitimacy in the age we're in, where, you know, apparently warning the country that Russians are trying to meddle in the election, according to Mitch McConnell, is a partisan act that we can't do. We would rather allow them to get away with it than stand with President Obama at the time. I mean, that's the level of partisanship. And yeah, I'm going to not pretend like I'm you know, one of these inside Washington people that tries to blame both sides. It's about 90% the fault of Republicans. I'm saying there are no Democrats who participate in this, but they at this point, they have a feedback loop with their media arm, Fox and talk radio and the rest, where they benefit from you know, creating as partisan and poisoned an atmosphere as possible. So having this bipartisan legitimacy conferred on this by Republicans and Democrats who've served past administrations is very important. You know, I mean, I don't know if it will change anything, because again, that dynamic exists. We know from what Bob Mueller said, and then, you know, from then when Bill Barr took and completely misrepresented, it's pretty clear in what he said that there are numerous acts where, you know, that under different circumstances could be construed as criminal. And he was recommending that Congress make that determination, because that's what's supposed to happen with a president.
Exactly.
You know, but that's where we are.
Well, and by the way, I do want to mention Bill Weld, the former U.S. attorney, Republican challenger to Trump in this upcoming cycle. Donald Ayer, former deputy attorney general who served during the H.W. Bush administration. Jeffrey Harris, how about this for embarrassing for this president? Former principal assistant and then associate attorney general Rudy Giuliani during the Reagan administration. So, you know, it is bipartisan. And, you know, it's this weekend you had Trump. Who a week and a half ago said, "Oh, I don't mind if Mueller goes and testifies," thinking that that Barr would prevent Mueller from doing so. You know, Barr goes, "I don't care," and so now all of a sudden they're saying, "Okay, let's get him in here." And Trump, for lack of a better way to say it, just went on an ultimate temper tantrum about the thought. He clearly is terrified of the full contents of the Mueller report becoming public.
Of course. I mean, look, also, you know, we know that based upon what Mueller looked at, we've established the numerous over 100 contacts between Trump and Putinites, or Trump's campaign, various members, it seemed like almost all of them. And the collusion was established. He said very clearly, you know, what was not established is whether we could make this turn this into a criminal conspiracy, or whether there was evidence to go forward with that, I should say. But, you know, if he was given more time to investigate, who knows? I mean, he was stonewalled in a lot of places, and stonewalled by people that under normal circumstances wouldn't be able to get away with that, you know, be thrown in prison for that.
Look, can I ask you something, since you brought this up, and I want to talk to you, get your opinion on it. There are some people who look at the Mueller report, some what we've seen so far, and have said, wait a minute here, the collusion is kind of proven here, that you do have, as you mentioned, all these contacts between the Trump campaign and the Russians, and really obnoxious one, and we got the Roger Stone indictment sitting right out there right now.
Right.
And that's a real damning one, which is real terrifying if you want to know the truth. So the question I have is, there are some people that have the Trump administration's goal was to get everyone to focus on obstruction of justice, not collusion. And the reality is clearly anything that came out of the White House in the first days of this report are absolute lies. And that as Mueller himself said, this goes to the Congress. You'd said that as well. Do you believe that is kind of the goal here, is that the collusion stuff seems to be pretty prevalent here? There doesn't seem to be a real mystery as to whether or not the campaign worked with the Russians. And so, you know, considering how damning that is, and we're getting into treasonous territory, is the whole goal of the Trump administration saying, fine, we'll go with obstruction of justice, but at the end of the day, there'll be enough people willing to fall on spears that we don't have to worry about that?
I think so, because, I mean look, I think that that's the case, because I think that obstruction of justice gets into sort of something where people say, oh, well, that doesn't seem as big of a deal. And, you know, it's, you know, of course, that was one of the charges against Nixon, and one of the ones against Bill Clinton by Republicans, too, over whether he had consensual sex with somebody, not his wife, and lied about it versus this, which gives you an idea of what we're talking about here. And none other than Lindsey Graham, of course, who has sold his soul now to Donald Trump. Got up during when Bill Clinton was president, he was in the House, and now a speech that's probably pretty much shared every day on places like Twitter and Facebook said that it didn't have to even be criminal for something to be impeachable. you know, just because there wasn't a criminal conspiracy. I mean, you know, look up the word collusion in the dictionary. What do you call Paul Manafort, his campaign chair, handing over polling information in a couple of key states like Wisconsin and Michigan? Gee, those sound familiar. To this Kamilnik, to this Russian oligarch who's connected to Putin. What do you call taking a meeting with somebody who tells you they're going to give you dirt on Hillary Clinton in Trump Tower? And then I can just go on and on and on. Of course they colluded. No, of course. I mean,
well, the answer for Donald Trump Jr. is he's too stupid to actually know what he was doing. That's right. Your defense? My God.
Right. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. You know, in the end is, you know, was there a criminal conspiracy where they sat around and said, we're going to do this, and in return, you're going to do that? And no, we haven't been able to establish that. And again, largely one of the reasons why is Donald Trump refused to be testified and Mueller did not make him sit down under oath. Mueller didn't make Donald Jr. sit down under oath, and with how stupid he is, you know, and Jared Kushner, can you imagine what would be coughed up? I mean, they, in the end, there's been a lot of leniency given to Trump and his sycophants and enablers around him because of the fact that he's the president, that no one else, you, me, anybody else tries that, we get thrown in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that being realistic, we have to take all that into account here. And my guess is if they were to look further, but, you know, maybe they would find it, but maybe they wouldn't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't much matter. What matters is Donald Trump knew ahead of time when WikiLeaks was going to dump emails stolen by Russia. He knew that.
He
behaved accordingly.
He called the Russians to say, can you hack their accounts? And later that day, the Russians hacked the accounts. I tried to, at least. Yeah.
He grabbed themes that they developed based upon things that he was told. You know, he was made very clear, Roger Stone, you brought up, who knew that they were going to go after Hillary's health. And then he got up and he talked about it. And so, I mean, maybe that doesn't fit criminal conspiracy. It certainly fits. We know what the other guys are doing. We know what they're saying in their propaganda outlets like RT and Sputnik. We know what they're gleaning from emails, and we're going to run with it. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, treasonous behavior, whether it's technically rises to the level of a criminal conspiracy or not. And I mean, again, you know, it's ridiculous. You can't even play the game of what if Obama did it.
Mm-hmm.
The kinds of things, I mean, that they tried to hold, you know, Eric Holder for contempt, people like getting them things a day late, things of that sort,
mm-hmm.
versus what these guys have done on purpose. The whole ginned up Benghazi, where frankly we didn't get to actually learn from what ended up becoming a security breach and ended up getting people killed because, yeah, there were actually terrible mistakes made there. It would have been nice to have a nonpartisan group try to learn from that so that we could do better the next time instead of politicizing it the way the Republicans did. But that's who we're dealing with.
Yeah, the question is whether they'll completely discount and attack the people that signed that letter or just ignore it and hope everyone else does too. You talk about the Mueller as a prosecutor. And there's another thing that he brought up in here, which it really raised my eyebrows quite a bit because Minnesota was mentioned in there. They said specifically that Manafort was sharing with the GRU guys the polling data and information about four states, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania. Those sound familiar? And then Minnesota. I've had
in Minnesota, we only won by about a point or two, correct?
We did, but I've also talked to Steve Simon, who's the Secretary of State here, and he has talked about, without a doubt, the fact that we have paper ballots here. And it's, you know, so that you can fix, you know, because I asked him after the election, I said, could you fix the election? He goes, no, if we had any suspicion whatsoever, we would immediately go to the paper ballots and do a hand recount of the paper ballots, and then we'd be able to have the actual things. I'm not sure exactly the setups in other states. I know Wisconsin's a little bit weird, but the reality is this: is the fact that Mueller put those states specifically in this report. I'm starting to really feel as if they had some sinking suspicions that something might have been going on with the election results in 2016 in those states, and you know he can't say it. But as a prosecutor, he was smart enough to include those states specifically in his report because he knew that eventually that people might be able to come back to that.
I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, that's what a smart prosecutor would do, right? You want to get everything down on the record so that you can refer to it later. And if you have to, you can come back to something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear they made a serious play for Minnesota, you know, with how close they came. It's clear that, I mean, and they meant, does that mean like, you know, they broke into machines in places that have them and changed votes? Not necessarily.
No.
But it certainly means that that's where their propaganda efforts were aimed. It means that they realized that if the vote was going to be close enough, you know, that surgically being precise and trying to sort of, you know, target African-American voters, for example, and say you shouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton because she said super predators once, this and that. Fine, you don't like Trump, just don't vote for either of them, or vote for Jill Stein. Or, you know, and we know those efforts, you know, because in the end of Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania going Republican and making the difference in the election, a lot more attention has been paid to those three, mm-hmm. you know, but, and because they've been longtime Democratic states, and I don't think any Republican had won any of them since about 88. I don't think they had won Wisconsin since 84, you know? So I think that a lot of attention, but Minnesota is worth paying attention to there too. You know, again, whether it changed votes, we also know that what was not mentioned there, Florida, I still don't know. It's almost like these things pop up and the news cycles get so crazy, they disappear. But the FBI was meeting with Rick Scott because one county in Florida had apparently, I mean, you probably saw that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
And apparently, and even Rubio mentioned something about it. Why would Rubio mention it if he thought, you know, unless he was trying to cover his butt, so to speak, in case something came up there? So, you know what I mean? Like, that's the problem right now. Is the fundamentals of George W. Bush basically destroying so much of us, of our country, meant that Barack Obama had to respond to an economy collapsing, had to respond to getting people health care and a system collapsing and these kinds of things. But it does remind you that no matter what is going on, no Democrat who's elected president ever again should enter office and not make democracy protection and enhancement their top agenda item.
Well, and
as far as I'm concerned,
in Minnesota, we know that the Russians try to hack us. They know they try to get access to our polling systems, our election poll databases. And the reality is we have a Republican named Mary Kiffmeyer, who's an idiot, who basically is refusing to take the federal dollars we have. We're the only state in the union that has not taken the federal dollars for election security because Mary Kiffmeyer says, well, the Russians are going to hack us one way or the other. And I can't for the life.
That's a smart response. We probably shouldn't spend on all sorts of things for that. We probably shouldn't have a defense. Mm-hmm. We should get rid of the military. I mean, they're going to attack us anyhow, right?
Yeah.
What a stupid comment.
Exactly. All right. Tell you what. Can you stick around for a little bit? I want to take a break, come back, and I want to touch on China. Cliff Schechter joining us today, 952-946-6205. We'll come back, talk trade. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about Snap Construction. They're experts in roofing, siding, window, and insurance restoration. They have energy-efficient products available for both residential and commercial properties. This spring, when we needed a company to take a look at a problem with our roof, I called the company I knew I could trust, Snap Construction. I've known Ryan, the owner at Snap Construction, for years, so I knew I could trust him. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their reviews online. They are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior contractor online in the metro area. Over the years, Ryan has always said the same thing to me about his work. If we build it, shouldn't we be held accountable for the work indefinitely? He backed that statement up years ago when Snap Construction was a pioneer in offering a lifetime craftsmanship guarantee on all their work. For a free estimate or general questions, call the locally owned company AM950 Trusts, Snap Construction, at 612-333-SNAP. That's 612-333-SNAP, or find them online at snapconstruction.com. They have financing options available.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chuchka, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
get out of the cold at Burger Mo's. Burger Monday Madness happens every Monday after 4 p.m., except on Excel event evenings, where you can order any burger with fries on the menu for just $6. Burger Mo's always offers fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, desserts, two daily happy hours, and 60 beers on tap. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks for everyone who's watching on the Facebook live stream. Go to Facebook, go to AM 950 Radio there, and Progressive Citizen X, Matt McNeil Show on Facebook. You can watch the show. It's radio for your eyes. Cliff Schechter joining us. The trade deal, this is supposed to be a big week for the trade deal. Trump, through his comments over the weekend, made it already seem as if the trade deal is not going to come through with kind of his threats to China. From what I've understood about this and what I've read about this, the problem with the Trump administration is they basically, because of Trump's initial ham-handedness in this entire discussion, he basically forced the Chinese to run to Argentina and Brazil to get their ag supply. So their soybeans, stuff like that, is coming from – they've got now long-term deals in place with Argentina and Brazil that the Trump administration wants the Chinese to negate those and come back to the same ag levels they had with the United States prior to those. The Chinese are like, no. And so right now there is really nothing Trump can do to basically even come out with an even score, that right now, because of the way he's mismanaged this, that there is a large section of our foreign trade that's never going to come back.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. I mean, there will be long-term damage from Donald Trump. There will be forever damage from Donald Trump. You know, I mean, look, you vote for a moron, you get a moron, you know? Ah. I mean, you got a guy who found a way. I mean, again, like, I'm not just even saying this stuff as sort of ad hominems because I enjoyed insulting him. I do, because he's literally a child.
Oh, yes.
Mentally. But, I mean, if you go, and by you, I mean a lot of you soybean farmers out there who overwhelmingly voted for this guy in places like Ohio. I think some of that probably is in Minnesota, too. Am I correct?
Yes.
I don't know every soybean state. I certainly know Iowa, Ohio, places like that that switched their votes over and made the difference, you know, and voted Republican. Well, you know what? You've ended, if your livelihood is in soybeans, you've probably ended your livelihood. And that is what you do when you listen to an emotional child and you don't pay attention to the fact that somebody who found a way to honestly to bankrupt casinos, where people give you their money for nothing. They literally hand it over to you for chips to be entertained and lose it to you. Mm-hmm. He found a way to bankrupt those. He found a way to lose hundreds of millions of dollars his daddy handed him, illegally, by the way, that he didn't pay taxes on. I mean, he's a complete moron. You know, there's nothing this person – I mean, Trump stakes, you know – I mean, his various properties that now – places I know in New York that are taking Trump off of their buildings because they want nothing to do with him. Eventually, he finds a way to destroy everything he touches. It's the rule. So why would this be any different? There's no long-term thought given to this. He doesn't give long-term thought to anything. When it comes to China, they're giving lots of long-term thought, whether it's investing in their infrastructure or things like this, on how to surpass us, as they will.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not going to now destroy relationships they've built with Brazil and Argentina when it comes to soybeans and other crops, just because Donald Trump now feels like he'd like to have them back. He threw his tantrum. They did what any smart country would do and took their business elsewhere, and we're now going to pay the long-term price.
And his action is, why did you believe me when I first said these things? Now, it is interesting because the long-term impact here is definitely on these soybean districts, Nebraska, you know, some of Kansas, the Dakotas, which have been strong Republican territory. And in Minnesota, rural Minnesota, as a matter of fact, Minnesota is really unique. The Iron Range, the northeastern part of the state, that has traditionally been a Democratic area. But there's a mining there, and it's taconite mining for steel. So the steel's tariffs really went over well up there. There's a very decent chance a district like that, which has voted Democrat for many years, might be going, say, Republican for a while. Meanwhile, you look at districts around the rest of the state, especially in the fallout of what Trump has done, and they're really the Republicans are really concerned that not only will this affect the U.S. House in those races, but down ticket races in these states where you've had, you know, the Democrats even haven't even tried to door knock in some of these, you know, more red districts. Now, sure, all of a sudden there's weakness there because the soybean markets these districts had grown up with, depending on, they just don't exist anymore. And they can't, with their margins, they can't afford to take a 2-year hit on their product.
Well, I mean, it's where's it? I mean, it's down. I don't want to say a percent because I saw something that was like ludicrously high. What our soybean sales were down, and I'm not sure. So I don't want to just. But I mean, we've been crushed by this. This is just classic Trump acting stupidly, saying whatever comes in his mind, acting like a big shot, puffing out his chest as he always does, and there's nothing behind it. Mm-hmm. And these people bought that. A lot of them did, not all of them. I give the ones credit who didn't. And there's nothing that's going to make this better. You know, you've probably destroyed your livelihood. And if you voted for this guy, that was what you chose to do. It's almost like you look here and you know, it makes you wonder here and there about human evolution. It's kind of like there's this guy and he's telling me that I need to hate people that are different than me. I'd rather do that, I guess, than have health care or trust people that have been good to my business or anything like that. I'd rather take a risk with this idiot. And this is what, you know, this is what's going to happen. So I hope it was worth it. I hope all the immigrants that will never come to where you live because they're not coming to where you live. Or the terrorists will never come to where you live, or all the other ways you were told to hate people. I hope that was worth it. I hope the high you got from that was worth it because you've screwed yourself long term. I don't know how else to put it.
Did you see the number? If you and I might have seen the same number, 90%, was that what you saw?
That was what I saw.
I saw that too.
I had that number in my head. I didn't want to say it because it seems so ludicrous, right? But maybe that's accurate.
That's our largest soybean exporter. We were planting so much soybeans across the country. Yeah, no, I saw that number too, and trust me, I got friends down in Iowa. I talk to them occasionally, and they're all saying the same thing, is that right now they're frantically – I mean, and reminder, so that all of a sudden if you flip over and you become corn or you become wheat, well, you undermine those markets and those prices bottom out because now there's a flood in the market.
You got too much supply.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, I hope some people learn their lessons. I've read articles. I think there was one on a farmer in Minnesota. There was another one on one, you know, that I read. I hope they learn, and I hope – as you say, we'll find out if these places do become competitive, if they do open their mind to Democrats and say that, you know, this is lunacy what we've done, that we've turned ourselves over to basically a cult leader who does none of what he promises, and that's been the one thing that's been consistent his entire life. And maybe we'll see, because it's Ohio too, in these rock Republican areas, these right wing areas where they feed people this silly propaganda about all this stuff that never happens, you know, post birth abortion, as if that actually exists, you know, and things like that. Well, you know, maybe we'll see if people are smart enough in some of these areas to say enough. They've destroyed the soybean market. They destroyed either my livelihood or people I know. And, you know, maybe I'll give Democrats a look. If they don't, then I guess, you know, there's nothing that can teach.
Not much, no. Where did the Yankees play starting tonight? Where are they at?
They are playing Seattle.
Are they in Seattle or at home?
I think they're home tonight.
Oh, so that'll be a good series.
That should be. Seattle's been a pretty solid team. Where's Minnesota?
They're at Toronto. Mega Toronto.
That should be good for you guys.
Well, we play Toronto. This is, of all the teams, we can't play Toronto. I don't know why we do so poorly against Toronto, but we do. Hopefully we don't get swept in Toronto, but, you know, they'll be back soon. All my best to your Yankees, my friend.
And all my best to your Twins. I can root for anybody against Toronto, so I'm pulling for you.
Cliff Schechter, once again, I'll link to everything. And by the way, if you're not subscribed to his podcast, you're a loser. And I can say that with authority. Scientific research has proven that to be correct. I'll post the link to the Patreon page. You go and subscribe to Cliff's unprecedented podcast. It is exceptional. Cliff, thank you very much, my friend.
Always a pleasure to be on your show, man.
You got
Thanks a lot for having me on.
You got it. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.